It's a Kiki with John and McG. Gonna spill all the tea. All my LGBTs, you're in luck, 'cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gay as Fuck. I am Mr. John T. McGovernus, he who is. Well, baby, it was the faggoty Super Bowl this week. Yes, it was. And what am I talking about? You know what I'm talking about. It's been everywhere. It's the night that every homosexual turns into their own Amanda Priestley or Joan Rivers or even an Anna Wintour type, where we all take out our monocles and peep and criticize the fashion of millionaires. Yes, the Met Gala was this past Monday. If you ever forget, just remember the name of the documentary about it, The First Monday in May. Honey, of course, I love the Met Gala. And what did I do when the Met Gala was going on? Honey, I sat with a bunch of homosexuals and we live podcasted the whole thing. What a delight. Nothing. I mean, if you can't go to the Met Gala, and you're most likely never going to get invited to the Met Gala, the best thing you can do is just enjoy it surrounded by homosexuals as well as hors d'oeuvres, including Doritos and caviar with some of your best homies. That is what I did, and it was a delight. If you want to hear that, of course, you can go over to the Patreon, patreon.com/gayestofalltime, for our immediate hot takes on what was going on the green carpet, darling. Who slayed? Who was the worst? No censoring, just what we thought. So go over there and check that out. But now that the gala is complete, you know what that means. The gossip can begin. So we have so much to discuss. The looks, the shade, the drama, the kiki. Let's talk the Met Gala, honey, and let's get into it.
Get into it.
A fabulous soiree. I know you're all waiting for me to show up and serve.
Can't make it to the Met Gala. I have so much going on. Anna Wintour invited me personally, but I respectfully declined to respond. See, I'm gonna be out in LA and then straight off to the UK. Can't make it to the Met Gala, but I'll probably go someday.
Every first Monday in May, all the stars ascend on the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's fashion's biggest night. Now, what they do every year, because look, the Met Gala's been going on for, what, 30 years? Started back in the day by Diana Vreeland, a legendary Vogue editor who wore rouge on her high cheekbones up into her ears. And it was created to raise money for the Costume Institute, which is the part of the Metropolitan Art Museum in New York City that preserves fashion and costumes and looks from all of the eras. Now, the Met Gala was kind of like a kind of small party. There were celebrities that went, people dressed up, but it wasn't really until Anna Wintour's reign of terror that the Met Gala became the giant fashion explosion of publicity that it is today. What they do every year is they usually give you a theme based on the exhibit they're about to open. There was everyone's favorite year, which was camp. When I say everyone, I mean me, because we saw that year Drag Race Girls and RuPaul on the carpet, as well as Katy Perry as a fucking hamburger and all sorts of weird shit. Last year was Karl Lagerfeld. I mean, you know, it always... there was the year that was all about religious iconography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This year's exhibit is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion, which examines how technology can breathe new life into garments that are too old and fragile to be worn again. Because if you look at the exhibit, it looks like a bunch of, you know, Sleeping Beauty's little glass coffin that she's in where she'd be sleeping in. The garments are like that. They cannot be touched. They cannot be breathed on or they'll disintegrate. Now, also, they did give a dress code this year, which was the Garden of Time, which was named after a J.G. Ballard story about a count who, to stave off an angry mob nearing his castle, cuts a rose from his garden, which slows down time until there are no flowers remaining. Which is kind of like what was going on at the Met Gala, because, of course, there were protesters trying to storm their way in. But, honey, the police stopped it all because no one can stop the fashion. So with this Garden of Time dress code, which very few people, I'm sure, read the story, as well as the idea of Sleeping Beauties, we got a lot of different looks on the red carpet. We got a lot of garden. We got some recreation of old classic fashion looks. We had some archival pieces. And then we just have some basic bitches who showed up in a nice dress. And I guess that's fine, too. If you want to be a BW, basic woman.
I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's going to get scandalous.
Now, they always have celebrities co-chair this event with Anna Wintour. And this year was Bad Bunny, J-Lo, Zendaya, and Chris Hemsworth. And can I tell you, I thought the best dressed person at the Met Gala was... Chris Hemsworth cock. Baby, Chris Hemsworth was wearing a suit, not on theme at all, but it was a cream Tom Ford suit with the pants cut just so. Just so we can see that dick just sitting there looking good. You know Tom Ford loves to cut a dick-hugging suit. And though I think that was actually designed by whoever the guy is that's doing the new Tom Ford, now that Tom Ford is retired again to be a movie director, because he didn't even show up wearing himself last night. He wore Yves Saint Laurent, or Saint Laurent, of course.
Saint Laurent, of course.
But Chris Hemsworth was wearing this cream suit with his dick outline looking good. And I'd say he was the best dressed. And when I say he, I mean the dick. So they were the co-chairs. Now, what do the co-chairs have to do? I think they just have to show up, and then they shake hands with everybody that comes on in. Now, supposedly, Anna Wintour was very disappointed with J-Lo for not doing enough handshaking, or so the blind items would have you believe. J-Lo, I did think, looked stunning, though... Another blind item said that J-Lo had so much Botox in her face, she looked dead in the face and she could not move. And I've got to tell you, having watched her interview, it did look like that. Now, we know J-Lo has had a rough couple weeks or rough 2 months. I mean, ever since the movie This Is Me Now came out, the new wave of hate for J-Lo online has been growing. And I'm sure that this fucking hurt J-Lo's feelings. I mean, she really thought spending $20 million on that movie musical was going to be something that maybe she was even going to get an Oscar or Emmy. But instead, probably not. You know, look, Amazon bought the project from her, so she probably made her money back, I guess. But I think she thought she was going to be adored and loved, and she was not. She was not. Plus, everybody's been bringing back up the old clips of her songs and talking about all the people who are really singing on them mostly and not her. So J-Lo's been beaten down a little bit, but and she looked and seemed beaten down in the interviews, well, not looked beaten down, but the face was so dead, so frozen. And her attitude seemed to be like, yeah, well, I'm here. And yeah, I'm trying to look good. Just, I'm trying my best. Ben was not there. He was across the street at a Dunkin' the whole night outside smoking a cigarette. J-Lo did look beautiful. She was in Schiaparelli. You know, remember Schiaparelli did the couture a few years ago that you might have seen pictures of with like a lion's head. It was Kylie Jenner famously in this outfit with a big, you know, wasn't a real lion, but it looked like a photorealistic lion's head and birds and all sorts of, you know, if it looks weird, it's Schiaparelli. Weird and stunning. But J-Lo, you know, she looked good. Now, BuzzFeed said, just another new dress. I mean, what else do we want J-Lo to do? She's doing her job. It's being pretty. Do we always love her musical output? No, we do not. But when it comes to being pretty, J-Lo is always doing it. Though, if you listen to the Patreon where we watch the arrivals live, a friend of mine who loved the J-Lo This Is Me Now movie said, after I sort of said something snarky about it, he said, you didn't like it? I loved it. I mean, did you understand it? I said, ah. Did I understand? She works at a heart factory. What's not to understand? But I thought that was plenty shade, and I enjoyed it very much. Zendaya, also a co-chair, she came out, and she did it as usual look. If there's any girl who is slanging hard fashion-wise lately, it is Zendaya. Remember her stylist, Luxury Law, quit and said, I will no longer be a stylist. Except for Zendaya. And so they have been collaborating on stunning looks. The most notable pre-Met Gala, of course, being when she pulled the Mugler robot look out of the archives, honey. The metal robot cyborg look from the Mugler archives. And she wore it to the Dune 2 premiere. And baby, that was a serve. And she served again at the Met Gala. Now, she started in a Galliano Margiela look inspired by his work from the 1999 Dior collection. It was blue, it was green, it was flowery, it was, you know, she looked stunning. And then she came back around, okay, honey, she was early on the carpet, and then she came back around in another look. And this time she wore vintage Galliano for Givenchy. Now, if you remember back in the day, Galliano was a poor fashion designer doing very avant-garde shows with titles such as Highland Rape, where the women ran down the runway clutching their bosom with the sound of wolves chasing them in torn dresses. And of course, the fashion world was obsessed with him, and Anna Wintour made sure he eventually got a job in the high couture of Givenchy. He was later transferred to Christian Dior, did many years of stunning, gorgeous fashion at Christian Dior, till this motherfucker got drunk and nasty and was caught on camera saying horrible things to a Jewish woman in a cafe about Hitler, and I wish you were burned. I mean, some nasty shit, which, of course, led to his fucking firing from Dior, cancellation. He had to go to rehab, and he's been quietly working behind the scenes at Maison Margiela for many years. Not doing red carpets, not talking that too much. He's always someone who talks like this. In a, you know, sort of staying out of the thing, but still working in fashion. Now, recently, he's had a big comeback with that big Margiela show, which was Under the Bridge, if you all remember this. And that was the thing where TikTok was obsessed with the Pat McGrath skin that looked like it was made of glass, which it turns out, I think, was like a face mask that they had put on that made the whole face look, you know, shiny. So he also did a documentary. Well, he went to rehab back in the day. And then he did a documentary called High and Low about the highs and the lows of his career. He was in the Supermodels documentary. And he once again made an apology tour about how he was fucked up and how horrible it was that he said those things. And he's basically been on an apology tour. Now, we know that Anna Wintour has behind the scenes always been pushing for him. Now, there was also a rumor that this year's Met Gala was maybe going to be John Galliano themed, but because the shit is still majorly problematic. I mean, if you bring up the clip, girl, it's really hard to forgive because he seems like such a nasty cunt. But, you know, people are still celebrating what he does, but they were not about to have him be the main attraction, at least over the title at the Met Gala. Though I was just looking online and there are like 10 articles that are like, John Galliano, the real winner of the Met Gala, because not only did Zendaya wear his clothes, and Kim K also wore one of his Margiela dresses. And she snatched her waist down to 18 inches, honey. It was, you know what? Say what you want about Kim K. Or if you're the audience at the Tom Brady roast, boo Kim K. But she always works hard to bring you a look that you will talk about. And I thought she looked great. She wore this tight, tight, tight metal dress with the corseted, super snatched waist. And she herself said in an interview, it's an art form wearing the corset like this. There were reports she was turning blue, but who knows? And then she wrapped herself with sort of it was this beautiful metallic dress snatched in the waist. And then she wore this kind of scuzzy cardigan around it. Now, of course, people online were commenting, well, that's what my mom wears when she goes out to smoke on the balcony. Or some people were saying it was her boyfriend's sweater, which is Odell Beckham Jr., I think, ex-boyfriend. But honey, that wasn't a Odell Beckham Jr. or her boyfriend sweater. That was like a raw silk cashmere cardigan from Margiela. But it did give a little bit little match girl type of vibes. And she was looking very distressed in the photos on purpose. And I thought it was a serve. I mean, I thought it was a serve. I've actually, though Kim Kardashian amuses me greatly sometimes and not so much other times, I thought at the Met Gala, she's always served. My favorite being that when she wore the dress based on Bo Derek coming out of the water in the movie in the 70s, where she was dripping, where the dress looked like it was dripping wet. Of course, that was also the dress that right before they left for the Met Gala, Kanye, who was in his church era at this time, told her he thought was too sexy. And she was like, it's too late. Okay, it's too late. We're leaving now. You had weeks to say this. Okay. And of course, she wore the Maryland dress. I wasn't as impressed with that, nor was I outraged, though. Everyone saying she should never be touched. It's a dress. It's a dress. Okay. Maybe she ripped it a little bit with her big ass, but whatever. It was whoever owned the dress said it was cool. So whatever. Now, like I was saying, Kim got booed at the Tom Brady roast, which is on Netflix, but then won the crowd back with some sharp jokes. The thing, I did not watch the roast of Tom Brady. When I saw it being advertised, I said, why would Tom Brady want to submit to this? Why anyone would want to be the subject of a roast is beyond me. I it's not for me. But then again, I'm very sensitive. And the thing is, most of the jokes, of course, were about Giselle and his marriage and whatever. I mean, you know, who cares? I don't care about Tom Brady. Other than the fact that I used to think he was stunningly handsome, and honey, they got him. Okay. He looked like a gorgeous Frankenstein on the stage of the roast. It looks like they've given him a little Botox and filler, and baby, he looked like a Frankenstein. he just, whatever it was that he looked like before when I thought he looked good, like something is off. He's looking off. Maybe it's that he's so lean that it just, his face is looking skullish. I don't know. I know this isn't about Met Gala, but another tangent about male facial surgery. Another person who they got him. I saw some up close shots of Ryan Gosling on the red carpet for The Fall Guy. And baby, they need to lock him up and throw away the key until the filler settles, because for someone who is so handsome, he looks crazy. He looks crazy. He's rounded, and it's, I'm speechless with how weird it looks. It looks weird. Ryan, stop, 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 stop. But Ryan was not on the red carpet at the Met Gala. Anyway, back to the whole Galliano thing. Also Bad Bunny was wearing Galliano for Margiela. I mean, I don't know. Let me know what you think. What do you think Galliano should be? I mean, he already is making a comeback. What are your thoughts about it? Who else was looking stunning? Gigi Hadid wore Tom Brown. Now, Tom Brown also had a very big presence this year. We know Tom Brown is also one of Anna Wintour's favorite designers of note. And of course, he is married to Andrew Bolton, who is the fey homosexual, who's the curator at the Costume Institute of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan. Who, if you watch the documentary, The First Monday in May, it's pretty much about him. Now, Tom Brown is famous, of course, for what made him his signature fame was this men's shorty suit in a very lean look, schoolboy aesthetic. But he's lately, really, the brand has grown, and he's showed at the couture in Paris this year, making some really stunning garments, as well as having a women's line, which has been all over the place, as well as when Karl Lagerfeld died and everyone did the tributes to Karl Lagerfeld Chanel looks for Vogue. The Tom Brown ones were truly divine. And in my thought, I thought maybe Tom Brown was going to be the successor for Karl Lagerfeld at Chanel Couture, which he very well could be. Anyway, because obviously of these connections being besties with Anna and his husband being the curator, many girls were wearing Tom Brown at the Met, and they were looking stunning. Gigi Hadid was wearing this white gown that looks like it was coming out of a jacket, which made up the flowing blossoms at the bottom of her dress. I mean, really looked stunning. Like she was blooming out of the look. Supposedly it took 5,000 hours to make. Now, honey, all the stars are telling you how many hours it took to make. And there was a blind item that said, this A-list star always plays the game of how many hours her dress took to make. And even though she often gives an exaggerated number, she wants to be sure she's 10 times ahead of anyone else. And supposedly that was Demi Moore, who did show up looking good. I mean, of course, you know, we are in a Demi Moore beauty renaissance for the third time. Congratulations, girl. At 61, she's looking more fresh and beautiful than ever. Not weird, not surged, just fresh. Now, the outfit she was wearing was weird. Now, the designer was someone who is giving a non-binary effect, though their pronouns seem to be he, him, named Harris Reed, who used vintage wallpaper to make a very architectural look for Demi Moore. I mean, it was definitely, it was like as if a bodice came up to a big heart shape, then it nipped into a tiny waist, and then a big hips and down into sort of more pencil-y train with little arrows sticking all the way out around it. I mean, it was weird, but she looked stunning, and this was what she was working up to. Honey, it probably took years of procedures and surgeries and scientists to get her here, but she looked stunning. And the designer, Harris Reed, joined her on the carpet in another weird outfit. I mean, they look like they were dressed for the Hunger Games. And perhaps they were, darling. Perhaps they were. Something I found extremely touching at the Met Gala was that Queen Latifah was there. Now, normally that wouldn't really excite me. But what did excite me was Queen Latifah was there with her wife. Publicly with her wife as a couple and did the red carpet together. Now, Queen Latifah, I do not believe, has ever officially come out, which has stuck in my craw all these years. I really do not appreciate a closeted celebrity, especially a glass closeted celebrity where everybody knows, but you just never say anything. And I understand some people feel that's different, that people should be able to have their private lives and not have the comments on their sexuality. But I disagree. I said it about Billie Eilish, and I said it about other people, that I think if you are queer, you have a duty to at least say so, so that you can be a beacon for those who are coming after you, as well as honor those who came before you, who maybe had it rougher. And so Queen Latifah has always been very silent, though she has been living with her partner and appearing, you know, not hiding it for many years. But we have never seen them like this on the red carpet together. In the interview with one of the girls on the Vogue red carpet, they asked, was this date night for you two? And her wife, Ebony, said, well, I wanted to come to the Met Gala. And I said, why don't you get us an invitation, baby? And Queen Latifah said, and so I did. So this is our date night. And then they talked about their son, and which I believe is maybe Ebony's son. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Either way, it was very heartwarming. And it wasn't like Queen Latifah walked the red carpet and then she was like standing in the back. They were next to each other. They were together the whole time. They were both dressed in Tom Brown. They both looked gorgeous. They were in love. They were out, and I will take it. Okay. I will take it. If your actions speak louder than your words, then do that. Do that. That's good. I will accept that as a coming out. Acknowledging your same-sex partner is the same as saying I'm gay. So, I mean, honestly, maybe a little emotional, because that is sweet. That is how it should be. And you know what? Ebony has been in the closet for long enough. Give Ebony her due. Please give Ebony her due. Well, she's gotten her due, and she got a lovely night at the Met Gala, and she looked stunning in Tom Brown. So fucking congratulations to her and to Queen Latifah. Now, also, there was another couple, queer couple on the red carpet. Sam Smith, who did not show up in panties and a bra with some high heel boots. No, he did not. To Sam Smith, who has been giving you body positivity to the extreme on tour with corsets and panties and all the rest, living his best non-binary fantasies, showed up in a proper suit with his new love, designer Christian Cohen. They wore 40s style. Now, Christian Cohen is the designer and designed their looks. And now, Sam Smith did have something which is truly one of my pet peeves, which is a mustache with a twirled up end. I hate those. But they wore 40s style suits with double breasted, and Sam Smith was in all black. Christian Cohen was in all white. And then they both had metal dipped English roses fastening the outfits. And supposedly this was a nod to a point early in their relationship where Christian gave Sam a English rose dipped in metal as a wooing gift. And I think that's sweet. And you know what? I'm happy to see Sam Smith getting some love. I mean, as someone who's been up and down in weight and deals with, as we all, as homos, body dysmorphia and low self-esteem at different times when it comes to how you look, I'm happy to see Sam Smith getting some public love, having a boyfriend, feeling good. Because, you know, he seems like the type that, you know, got thin, dated someone hot. That person, you know, ripped their hearts over the coal. They broke up. He gained 20 pounds. He gained 40 pounds. He gained 50 pounds. He put on a muumuu. Then he, you know, now he's living his best non-binary life and has a lovely boyfriend who seems like they are a lovely couple. So congratulations to him. Now, two of the hottest gays on the red carpet were, of course, Lil Nas X and Troye Sivan. Now, Lil Nas X wore like an all-cream multi-layer suit. He wore an oversized off-white suit by Loewe with shiny silver paneling. And the jacket was oversized and trailed behind him. And, of course, he wore long nails as well, and David Yurman jewels with an 18 karat white gold bracelet and earrings and multiple rings. I mean, I thought it was great. I thought he looked fabulous. His hair is short and blonde. He was, of course, very Gen Z about the whole thing and made TikToks while he was on the green carpet. So go, you go, girl. I love Lil Nas X and his style. And another one of my personal faves, Troye Sivan, walked the red carpet at the same time as Lil Nas X for the extra faggoty moments. Now, he looked okay. I mean, did his body look tight and snatched? Yes. He wore Prada, and he wore kind of like a tight blue shirt with what looked like almost a bulletproof vest. Troye wore an archive Prada look that falls under the reawakening fashion part of the dress code. And his stylist said, "We interpreted it as an opportunity to look back at the Prada archives and find our favorite Prada moment and bring it back to life." And what he wore was this menswear, obviously, look from the 2008 show, which is a little bit subversive and has a wink to it, which looks a little bit innocent in the front, with a pair of charcoal slacks, very tight fitting, a powder blue button down, except that the shirt opens in the back with a traditional placket and is held together by two garter straps. And we also did seem like we saw a little bit of a top of butt. So it kind of looked like a bib or like a bulletproof vest on top of this typical sort of corporate pinstripe light blue suit. But, you know, I think he looks sharp, and I always think he's pretty chic. I mean, if you're a 28-year-old super twink, you might as well wear that tight blue Prada showing a little sliver of skin in the back and show your dominance as a king forever twink. Now, here's the blind item that I thought was quite interesting. This A-list singer and this A-list actor offspring could not keep their hands off each other. The two guys were definitely going to be in hookup mode after the party. Now, I thought initially, because another person who was on the red carpet with his sister was Jaden Smith, who actually looked great, an oversized white suit with all sorts of straps all over it. And he was with Willow, who was wearing basically a blazer with the legs out. And they looked chic. Look, you can hate Will Smith, you can hate Jada, and you can hate Nepo babies, but you got to admit that Jaden and Willow are pretty chic. And Willow will always have my heart for Whip Your Hair Back and Forth. Anyway, I thought when it said A-list singer and A-list actor offspring, I thought they meant Jaden Smith. And after we saw Jaden kind of humping on Justin Bieber and giving a long, soft kiss on the cheek at Coachella was possible. But the blind item revealed supposedly said the person that Troye was making out with and in hookup mode with was Dan Levy, from old Schitt's Creek. Now, he was wearing, with something I said first, I said, is that dumb? But it actually wasn't. He was wearing a suit. It's a Loewe suit with a floral pattern that fades away into darkness. And so that the sleeves, the bottom of the jacket, and the pants have all these florals. And of course, it kind of gives the idea of, you know, the ephemerality of flowers and the circulation of life and blah, 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 blue. So I actually thought it was a great look. On second look, it was pretty great. My former co-star, Coleman Domingo, was there, and he, once again, looked great, gotta admit. Now, I thought he was the best-dressed man at the Oscars in that Louis Vuitton navy sort of nautical-themed suit with all the jewelry, and once again, he looked great at this. He paid tribute to Chadwick Boseman, and of course, Andre Leontali. Beauty, where is the beauty? Because he wore a white tuxedo jacket with a big black boutonniere and a white cape, as well as blousy, sort of almost looked like a skirt. And he said that he said that both Chadwick and Andre used to wear capes to the Met Gala, and he was paying tribute to them and to the culture. So once again, bravo, Coleman. Don't worry, I did die inside a little bit. Oh, okay. I can't believe I haven't already talked about my favorite look of the night, which was Doja Cat. Doja Cat. Doja Cat. Subversive and cunty, it's Doja Cat. So look, let's rewind back to a couple days before the Met. Doja Cat lands in New York City and is immediately photographed with Gharam Vasalia, who is the brother of Demna Vasalia, who designs Balenciaga. Now, they are very famously in a one-sided feud, but one where Gharam is always saying nasty things about Balenciaga and about his brother, and that his collection at Vetements, which is where Demna originally started from, which he now has taken over. The last collection at Vetements seemed to be like all the same ideas of classic Balenciaga outfits, but then blown up even bigger and bigger and bigger. If Balenciaga had an oversized suit, Vetements had a suit to the floor. Or if, you know, Balenciaga had an oversized t-shirt, Vetements had a t-shirt that was address. You know what I'm saying? Check it out online to see the wildness that is the latest Vetements collection, though I would wear some of it. And who else thought they would wear some of it? Doja Cat. So Doja Cat is photographed in New York for the first time pre-Met Gala with Gharam, and he's wearing the classic Vetements oversized jacket, oversized pants, and she, and the first time we see her, is just wearing saran wrap. Okay, saran wrap shirt, saran wrap top. Then they're seen pictured at Tiffany & Co. shopping for diamonds, where she is just wearing a bed sheet, which at one point does fall open. So literally it's just a bed sheet. And they seem to be giving a storyline here, because they're also seen like hugging and kissing in the diamond thing. But honey, we know Gharam is gay. Then when it came time to get ready for the Met Gala, you know, everybody stays at some hotel that's real nearby. A lot of times people come out with their outfit hidden because they want to gag you on the carpet and not have it ruined and be on Instagram before they even get to the red carpet. So people wear tents, they hide it, they would do whatever. For this one, Doja Cat decided to just wear a towel and then a towel on her head as a head wrap and pop into her car that way. Because what she was going to be wearing on the red carpet was a giant, oversized Vetements cotton t-shirt that looked all wet, so you could see her body in it. And honey, she was holding her boobs, slapping her butt. She looked hot. Now, she said it was a nod to the cotton flower, the flower that is in use all the fashion, which tied in with the garden theme that everybody was going with. And then the shirt was wet with a mixture of water and hair gel, so it would stay looking wet. And then she had chrome looking sparkle tears coming down her face. And I got to tell you, I thought it was a serve, a subversive serve. And when asked about what her look was giving, she said, well, it's kind of giving fuck you. And it was. And we loved it. I really appreciate this. Then at the after show, at the after party, we're in the party. Because, honey, she's not going to wear a wet t-shirt the whole night. Because once you get into the party, supposedly no cameras allowed, no pictures allowed, no selfies allowed. Now, we know everybody breaks the rule and takes selfies in the bathroom, famously, where they also go to smoke cigarettes. But there was a picture of her on the inside, and she was wearing a see-through top and just a pair of pantyhose with a thong. Now, this whole series of Doja Cat outfits this week made me think, is Bianca of Kanye and Bianca wearing all vêtements? Because she's wearing all these weird outfits, the saran wrap, the see-through thing with the thong and the pantyhose. And Kanye is wearing what I thought was Balenciaga, but I think is oversized vêtements, which is basically just very similar to Balenciaga. And is that what is making sense here about why Bianca's dressing so weird? Are they both just wearing full vêtements? Something to think about. At the party, there's usually a surprise performance, and this year the surprise performance was Ariana Grande. Now, I've got to tell you, I love Ariana Grande. I just recently re-listened to her new album. Ariana Grande has a great voice, great hooks, great song. I love the Yes And remix with Mariah. I love We Can't Be Friends. I love Ariana Grande, and I think she's we know she's a down-ass bitch who loves to have fun, because look who she dates. And of course, she's there on the never-ending press tour for Wicked with Cynthia Erivo. And Cynthia Erivo was serving at Cunt. She was serving at Aviance. She was serving ballroom. She was wearing a Tom Brown tuxedo, but covered in petals with a cape. And it was also cropped. And every time they saw each other, they said, ah, they were like the girls from Sex and the City. Ah, they were pretending to see each other for the first time, though they probably had been together all day. Ariana wore a Loewe outfit that was, the bodice was all mother of pearl. And she performed, and of course they do it in the Egyptian room or whatever the fuck that is, the temple of something or another. And which I'm sure the ancient Egyptians were like, one day Ariana Grande will sing We Can't Be Friends. But she, of course, was in fabulous voice, and Cynthia Erivo did come on and sang with her, and very true to the theme of the room, the Egyptian room, the Mariah Carey-Whitney duet, When You Believe. And honey, could you believe? It was fucking good. I think you can see clips of it online. I mean, they were fabulous. Ariana on, giving full Sleeping Beauty on a pillow in a large dress, preceded by an actor throwing rose petals. And she did all her hits, and with dancers and all. And you know what? Love it. Also, honorable mention for Fashion, Tyla, who sings that song.
Make me swim.
Water.
Make me hotter.
Water.
Make me lose my breath. Make me water. Make me swim, make me hotter, make me lose my
breath. And baby, her dress was Balmain, and it was made of sand. And her arms had sand on them. It was actually sand mixed with little jewels. And of course, Olivier from Balmain, who is a fucking genius, designed this. And he dressed a bunch of other girls who looked really good this year. And when it was time for her to go into the party, Olivier got out a pair of scissors and cut this long dress, because famously on the red carpet, it was so stiff, this dress, that Tyla could not walk up the stairs and had to literally be picked up and put down onto the stairs. But he cut it into a mini dress right on the spot. So, and he was doing a lot of Sands of Time theme. Olivier, who currently has kind of a braids look, giving a little bit of a 90s Milli Vanilli type of vibe. He really makes gorgeous clothing, and he had his own face looking like it was made of sand coming out of his shirt. Chic, fabulous. If you're rich enough to wear Balmain, I suggest that you do. And last but not least, Nicki Minaj and Cardi were both at the Met Gala, and yet there has not been one blind item about them throwing shoes or fighting. So that is a victory. Nicki Minaj wore Marnie. Now, Marnie, if you know Marnie, is the type of label that's made for handcrafted sort of flowers and artsy things. I mean, Erykah Badu did a collection with them. If that gives you any note, oh, Erykah Badu was there wearing Comme des Garçons, looking weird as we want her to. But back to Cardi and Nicki. It was with flowers, handmade sort of artsy flowers. It was not one of my favorites, but, you know, she looked cute and it was flowers. And of course, Cardi, to me, stole the show. Cardi was last on the carpet because she's brought it really hard to every Met Gala. Remember when she pulled out the Mugler? She wore a dress by the same Asian Chinese, she wore a dress by the same Chinese designer that designed Rihanna's dress. Remember the one that everyone thought looked like an omelet, but was really stunning cunt and took 50 million hours to make? Well, Cardi wore one of these dresses and was a huge billowing column that came out into, like, you know, a huge amounts of fabric at the bottom of ruffles and gorgeousness. And she wore a big head wrap type of turban with that. And honey, she looked gorgeous. She looked stunning. My favorite thing was on the Vogue live stream was catching her like talking on her cell phone that was plugged into a charger. I mean, just, she's relatable. She's a relatable woman. Now, there was one person who came in very late to the red carpet, and that was me. Brittany, you were not there.
I was.
What were you wearing?
I was invisible.
Why would you wear invisible?
I sleep in duty. I was asleep in my bed in Calabasas. If I'd gone there, you know what I would have done?
What?
I would have gone to that red carpet, waited till the photographers had their cameras out, and then I would have given them what? A pussy show.
Brittany, please. We got to wrap up the show.
See you later, fucker. I'll be at Cheesecake Factory.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Check out Vogue's live stream for all the deets and, you know, all the gossip. You can check, if you want to look at it, I'd say check out Vogue's coverage because they really give you everyone's picture. And most importantly, they write what everyone was wearing. If you look at E or L or some of these other fucking magazines, they don't say who made the dress. And we don't want to just know that Uma Thurman wore a light blue floral dress. Honey, we want to know who made it and why and how much it was. You know, it costs $50,000 to $75,000 per person at this event. And honey, none of the celebrities buy the tickets. Okay. They get paid to go, or they get, the tickets are bought for them by the designers who make their outfits. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if anyone has a spare $75,000, maybe I'll go next year. She's fabulous. And Coleman, Kate, can you guys, hello? Hey, I'm here at the Met Gala. Are you guys inside? Can you get me in? All right, everybody. I was not at the Met Gala, but I am here providing entertainment for you as I have for the past 20 years. So why don't you leave me a nice review on iTunes, huh? Write something nice. Right. I love this show. This is fabulous. Highly recommend. And then recommend the show to your friend. Or if you want more of me, show your love by joining my Patreon. And I don't just expect you to get the love for nothing, honey. You get up to 3 podcasts a week. So join me there and I'll see you next week on another episode of Gay As Fuck. We're going to close this episode with a song I played a snippet of at the beginning by JHVH called Can't Make It to the Met Gala. Honey, this is a bitch track that I can really get into, and it is out now on all platforms. So support this faggoty artist because I love this song. Hit it, JHVH.
A fabulous soiree. I know you're all waiting for me to show up and serve. Can't make it to the Met Gala. I have so much going on. Anna Wintour invited me personally, but I respectfully declined to respond. See, I'm gonna be out in LA, and then straight off to the UK. Can't make it to the Met Gala, but I'll probably go someday. Gucci wanted to dress me. I told Armani I was busy. The said I'd look so iconic. Jean-Baptiste Valli. Tell Kendall I said, hey girl, give Timothy my regards. I just wasn't really feeling the theme this year, unlike years past. I simply couldn't do it. There was no logical way to bridge it with my travel plans. I'll be touring in Marseille. They'd be remiss not to have me. There's no question I would slay. But I have too many scheduling conflicts and I just can't squeeze it in that day. Can't make it to the Met Gala. I have so much going on. Anna Wintour invited me personally, but I respectfully declined to respond. See, I'm gonna be out in LA and then straight off to the UK. Can't make it to the Met Gala, but I'll probably go someday. Jared Leto and Ice Spice. And I feel really bad that they won't get the chance to meet me, the time of their life. I was asked to perform a song or two at dinner, give a bit of a show. And I told Anna's people I couldn't believe that they'd offered a rate so low. And that's just Condé Nast. Print media's dying, but still, you could at least honor my writer, watch me eat and foot the bill. And I truly wanted to go, I did, to see Beyonce and all my other friends. But there's always next year and the year after that, and I'm sure I'll be on the list. I just can't make it to the Met Gala. I have so much going on. Anna Wintour invited me personally, but I respectfully declined to respond. I said I'm gonna be out in LA and then straight off to the UK. I can't make it to the Met Gala, but I'll probably go someday.